Good morning. Welcome, everyone, to Kelvin Christian Reformed Church. We've gathered here as people who worship the crucified and risen Lord Jesus. We remember the things that he has done for us. We celebrate his goodness and love. As we get started this morning, I've got a few announcements that I should make. The bulletin's just full of things that are coming up, and that's always good. So first, we have our worship planning team meeting. That's coming up on Tuesday. So if you want to come to the meeting, you're welcome. Or if you've got suggestions for our worship services, you can talk to me or to Miriam or to someone else involved with worship, and we'll try to accommodate you and get even better with our worship. Also, I want to draw your attention to the men's group is going to be starting back up, meeting on Wednesday evening. Info about that is in the bulletin, but that's coming this week. And then looking ahead, Youth for Christ is doing the bowl-a-thon at the end of the month. They do this every year, and we're going to be participating as a church. If you individually want to be involved, you can talk to Pete Ottima or Elaine Van Otterloo, and they'll get you set up with that. And then finally, once again, just a reminder that the Soup Supper is coming up next month on November 8th. If you haven't signed up and you still would like to sign up to work or to donate food, there's sign-up sheets in the back, right behind the window there on your left, my right. I think that covers the announcements for this morning. We are here to worship because God has called us. Let's hear God summoning us to praise him with these words from Psalm 145. Let's join together in this reading. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. So that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Let's join together in singing praise to our God. We're going to sing God is Here. Please rise in body or in spirit as we sing.
Thank you.
People of God, receive God's greeting. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God's greeted us. Let's take some time to greet one another. You may be seated. People of God, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let's confess our sins together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we confess before you that our hearts and our lives are so often filled with pride. We brag about our abilities and achievements and do not acknowledge all your blessings and gifts to us. We deny our sins and faults so that we can keep believing that we deserve everything we want. We think that we are always right. We tell ourselves that our desires and concerns are more important than others. We turn away from you, foolishly believing that we know better than you what is good and right for us. Please forgive us. Teach us humility so that we may recognize our dependence on you, care for others, and glorify your holy name. Through Jesus, who humbled himself to the point of death on a cross for our salvation. We cry to you, God, for help. We cry out to you to hear us. In our distress, we seek you, Lord. We stretch out untiring hands and will not be comforted apart from you. Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? To this we will appeal, the years when the Most High stretched out his right hand. We will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, we will remember the miracles of long ago. We will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Brothers and sisters, hear the good news. God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Know that in Christ Jesus, God forgives us and makes us new. Thanks be to God. So Jesus calls us to follow him, to live as his new people. We urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. Let's continue our singing praise to God. We'll join together in Here I Am to Worship. And once again, please rise in body or in spirit as we sing. As we come before God together in prayer, I've got a few prayer requests that we should remember together. First, we want to be praying for Glenda Hoffland. I talked to Glenda earlier this week. She just wanted to pass along that she's been having quite a bit of pain lately, just really been having a tough time. So we want to pray for relief for Glenda from her pain. Also, many of you hopefully saw or heard the prayer chain about Lori Lynn's grandson, Colton. Colton is continuing to make progress. He's off oxygen. He's still in the NICU for now. They're working on getting him to learn to take a bottle. But things are continuing to progress the right way, so we pray for continued growth for him. We want to pray for safety, too, for Lori as she's on her way back to Iowa here. Finally, we want to be praying for Dan Tracy, our friend who's come and filled in the pulpit many times. His granddaughter, Liza, is going through cancer treatments. It was in the bulletin a little while back. I just want to continue to pray for strength for her and for the whole family, and hopefully she'll continue to be able to receive treatment around here. I won't have to go off to Mayo or something like that. So let's bring these prayer requests and others together before God. Let's pray. You, God, are our God. Earnestly we seek you. We thirst for you. Our whole beings long for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Lord, we pray that you would fill us with a deeper and deeper desire for you. For you are the one who gives us life and strength and happiness and joy. All that we need is in you. Only you can provide for us. Lord, we confess that so often we do not seek you enough. We allow ourselves to be distracted. We turn away to other things. We don't spend time in your word or praying to you. We pray that you would fill us with a longing for you, that you would draw us closer and closer to you, that you would remind us again and again of your great love for us. Help us to remember and reflect on all that you do for us, and help us to praise you for who you are. We have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, our lips will glorify you. We will praise you as long as we live, and in your name we will lift up our hands. We will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, our mouths will praise you. Lord, we praise you for your great faithfulness, which is even more dependable than the rising and the setting of the sun each day. We thank you that you keep all of your promises to your people. You assure us that all your promises are yes through Jesus Christ our Lord. We praise you for your great compassion for our needs, that you tenderly care about all the details of our lives, that you know and want what's best for us, that you are concerned about even things that we think are insignificant. Lord, we praise you for your goodness that we've seen in the life of Colton. We pray that you'd continue to give him strength and help him to grow and develop. We thank you for the ways in which you provide for us. We thank you for the food that we get to enjoy each day. We thank you for the gift of friendship, for people that come into our lives that we love and that love us. We thank you for giving us time to rest. We thank you for helping us to grow in Christ, to know him more and become more like him. We thank you for giving us power through your Holy Spirit to resist temptation and live for you. On our beds, we remember you. We think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are our help, we sing in the shadow of your wings. We cling to you. Your right hand upholds us. Lord, trusting your power and love, we bring our prayer requests before you. We pray for Glenda Hoffland. We pray that you would bring her relief from her pain and give her strength. We continue to pray for Audrey and Frank and Denise and the care centers. We pray that you would protect them from loneliness and help them to know your power and your love in clear ways. We pray for Liza and her whole family as she undergoes treatment. We pray that you would bring healing to her. We pray that the treatments that she is receiving will work. Lord, we lift before you those who are in need of housing. We pray for those who are threatened by violence and war and crime. We pray that you would bring safety and security to their lives. We pray for our nation. We pray that you would guide our leaders to do what is good and right. Lead them to seek your face. As elections come up next month, we pray that you would give us good leaders who will walk in your ways. We pray for ourselves as we go into our daily work that you would help us to honor you and glorify you through the things that we do. Lord, we pray for and thank you especially for those who do the work of manufacturing and production. Lord, last of all, we pray for our church. We pray that you would help us to be your witnesses in our daily lives, that you would bless our ministries, and help us to grow closer together to you and to each other. All this we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. At this time, we get to worship God by giving back to him with our offerings, showing our gratitude for all that he gives to us. This week, we have a special offering for the ministry of the Luke Society. As we receive our offerings, we'll also join together in singing, "You Are My All in All." It's time for our children's message. So any kids that want to come up, let's talk together for a little bit right now. Good morning. How are you guys today? Ooh, you okay? All right. I'd like to talk to you guys today about work and jobs. So you guys know what my job is called? Being a pastor, yeah. So I have my Bible today, because as a pastor, I have to take my Bible a lot of places that I go. It's one of the things that I bring to work. But there are a whole lot of other jobs that different people do. Do you guys ever think about what kind of job you would like to have when you get older? Yeah? Well, what do you think you'd like to do? Yeah, Dominic. You want to work with your dad? That'd be really good. Yeah. Veronica? You want to be a teacher? Okay, that's a good job. Anybody else? Yeah, Kira. A doctor? What'd you say? Yeah. All right. Those are good. Those are all good jobs. A firefighter? That's a good job. Yeah. Did you know that all of our jobs, all the work that we do, they're like presents to us from God? God gives us work that we can do. And we get to show God that we love him with our jobs, with the work that we do. We say thank you to God for our jobs by working hard, by doing things in ways that help other people. Our jobs are good. They're things that God gives us. But even as good as our jobs are, God is even better yet. God is the best thing in the whole world. So we're going to talk about that a little bit with our sermon this morning. But before you guys head off to children's worship, let me pray with you. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for our children. We thank you for their energy and for their excitement. We pray that you'd bless their children's worship, help them to know you more, and to enjoy each other's company. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you guys are going to go with Miss Tessa today. So there she goes. You can follow her. Thanks for coming to the front. So we are going to be in the book of Ecclesiastes this morning, continuing our quest, along with the author of Ecclesiastes, to find out what gives meaning to human life. Now, before we read God's word together, let's join in a moment of prayer. Gracious God, most merciful Father, you've given us the rich and precious treasure of your holy word. Assist us with your Spirit, that your word may be written in our hearts to our everlasting comfort, to reform us, to renew us according to your image, to cause us to grow together to maturity in Christ, and to increase in us all godly virtues. Grant us this, Heavenly Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. This week, our scripture reading is Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. Please feel free to follow along with the scripture reading in your own Bibles, or you may follow along with the words up on the screen. Again, we're going to read Ecclesiastes 2, verses 18 through 26. Hear the word of the Lord. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish? Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil, into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then they must leave all that they own to another who has not toiled for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. This is the word of the Lord. So, what do you do? That's often one of the first questions that we ask each other when meeting someone new. We talk to kids about their career goals by asking, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" We refer to our work as how we make a living. I think it's fair to say that we often use our work to define ourselves and who we are. We often define other people by their work too, using what kind of job they have or their lack of employment to determine their value in our opinion. Because work is such an important thing to many of us, because we spend so many hours year after year at work, I think it's easy for many of us to look for meaning through our work. Many of us think that if we just find the right job, the right career, then we will feel fulfilled. Choose a job you love, and you'll never have to work a day in your life, the old saying goes. And so we worry. We worry that if we choose wrong, we'll be miserable. So we overthink our career choices again and again until we feel paralyzed. We lose sleep. We make our heads hurt, stressing over whether or not we need a new job when our work becomes a slog. Lots of us so desperately want to believe that if we just work hard enough, we tackle enough tasks, we put in enough hours, that we will have a good life. And so we can often make ourselves slaves to our jobs as we chase the title, the promotion, the raise, the employee recognition that we're sure is going to make us feel satisfied, successful. Each week, we evaluate ourselves. Did I try hard enough? Did I accomplish enough of my to-do list? Did I make progress on my goals? Did I do enough to feel worthwhile? I know that I do that. And we think, if not, that I better make myself busier. I better go talk to more people, volunteer for more responsibilities, reorganize the supply closet, do more cleaning, get stuff done. And whether or not we look for fulfillment from our work, our job, we can also seek happiness in other things that we do. We take pride in our fitness, for example. We tell ourselves that we'll be satisfied if we reach this time or this weight. We brag about our volunteering at church and our community involvement, thinking that it's our busyness that makes us worthwhile. We keep trying more and more, family activities, more hobbies, more projects, searching for something that will give us a sense of purpose. purpose. But we keep searching and searching because work doesn't satisfy us. Not forever. Even the best jobs can be miserable some days. Exhausting, stressful, full of all kinds of problems that nobody could predict. Eventually, our excitement fades. Work can seem routine, even boring. We could spend so much time chasing after some dream that we never enjoy the results of the work that we do. Or we can reach one goal only to jump right into pursuing another goal. O.C. Tanner did a survey. This was before COVID. They did a survey that found that 79% of employees were experiencing some level of burnout. Now, some of that probably comes from outside factors, a boss or a company that expects too much of you. But I think that it also hints that our work doesn't fulfill us. Not completely. But so often we make an idol out of our work and the things that we do. We trust them to take care of us, to make us feel good. But work, like any other idol, only ends up distracting us from God and eventually leaves us empty. Putting our trust in our work instead of God is sin. In the end, work is ultimately meaningless. It can't give meaning to our lives. The teacher who's writing the book of Ecclesiastes desperately wants to find out what it is that gives meaning to life. He's armed with more wisdom and more resources than anybody else, and he's searching for that ultimate fulfillment and satisfaction. But the teacher's quest has only been frustrating so far. He found that both pleasures and wisdom had some value, but neither of them could really give meaning to life. Pleasures, you see, were only temporary. And wisdom felt helpless in the face of death. With death and how absolutely final death seems still on his mind, the teacher soon dismisses work as a possible source of meaning. As he discusses work, he describes it again and again as toil or labor, emphasizing the difficulty and the pain of work to increase our feeling of futility. The teacher laments, "I've come to hate all my labor and all that I've labored for. Day after day, year after year, I've poured myself into my work, toiling in body and mind, employing all of the effort and wisdom that I could muster. And for a while, it seemed like all that sweat and strain was paying off. I earned respect for my work ethic, took pride in my accomplishments, pulled in a profit from all that I produced. But the more that I reflect on it, the more that I think that it's all been pointless. I look down at my dirty, calloused hands and I think, what did I really get out of all those long hours? A better resume? A fatter paycheck? Is that really enough reward for days spent punishing my back and my feet with exhausting effort? Is that enough for all those sleepless nights of wrestling with the headaches of new problems or the stress of looming deadlines? No matter how hard I try, no matter how much I accomplish, there's always more work yet to be done. It's also frustrating, so meaningless. But let's say that I believed that the results of my labor really were worth all the effort that I pour in. My toil still wouldn't ultimately be meaningful. Eventually, death will come for me, and I'll have to leave behind everything that I've labored so hard to achieve and earn under the sun. What good to me is all my toil then? What have I really been living for? I can labor with all the wisdom and knowledge and skill in the world, but in the end, someone who didn't do all that work is going to end up in control of everything I've gained. And who knows what they'll be like? Some fool could easily come along and ruin my reputation and waste my wealth. Even my legacy isn't really in my hands, but the hands of whoever comes after me. Nothing that I work and wear myself out for is guaranteed to last. Because of death, it seems that nothing is finally gained. It all feels frustrating. It's meaningless. You may notice that the teacher takes a completely self-centered perspective here. He's looking for personal fulfillment through his work. That may not seem so strange to us in the 21st century, but it would have been shocking to his fellow Israelites. They would have talked about working as a way to provide for their family, working for the goal of leaving an inheritance for their children. They would have considered the possibility of working for the common good and others' benefit. But the teacher uses this really individual focus to make his point. Work and all of its results are temporary, always demanding more and more out of a person. Even the best and hardest work sometimes leads to pain and worry and frustration. Those who look for fulfillment or meaning for themselves through labor, they will ultimately find that that is futile. Their work is meaningless. But that doesn't mean that the teacher finds work absolutely worthless. Human labor is a false hope for providing ultimate meaning. But people so often trust work because work can and often does give us a good feeling of temporary satisfaction. You regularly get this pleasant sense of accomplishment after a good day's work. The teacher doesn't deny that. Instead, after all of its frustration in seeking fulfillment through chasing wisdom or pleasure or work, he says that maybe the best that human beings can do is to eat and to drink and to find satisfaction in their labor. Making those kinds of things the ultimate goal of life, that's going to leave you wanting. But there is legitimate goodness to be enjoyed in such things, even if that's limited goodness. A tasty meal, a refreshing drink, a task completed by honest effort. Such simple delights, the teacher says, are gifts from the hand of God. As other parts of Scripture proclaim, God made, God preserves, God rules the world. And He from the beginning has given humanity work to do, filling the earth, subduing it, taking care of it. God provides individuals with abilities and strength to get things done and to enjoy the process of doing it. Because of God, because of God's goodness, you can enjoy your work, your food, your life. Satisfaction in a job well done reveals God's blessing. It points to how God is the one who makes things good. Here, at last, after two long chapters, it seems like the teacher has found some real good news. The truth is, yes, human pursuits and earthly things don't give meaning to our lives. But God enables us to enjoy life. viewing our work and the results of our work and necessities like food and drink as gifts from God helps us to keep things in perspective. If we recognize God behind these good things that He provides, we won't trust those things to give us a sense of fulfillment. Instead, we'll thank God. We'll enjoy His gifts for whatever they are truly worth. We'll look to Him to satisfy us and give our lives meaning. Rightly appreciating life comes from and through God. Just when we think the teacher has got it, he quickly falls back into despair. First, he says that God gives those good things the teacher explored earlier, wisdom and knowledge and pleasure. God gives them to the one who pleases God. God also gives the one who misses the mark the task of gathering things up for the one who does please God. And this sounds great to us. The righteous are getting rewarded. The wicked are getting frustrated. Fantastic. But suddenly, the teacher cries out, "This too is meaningless." What in the world is going on? I think there's a few factors at play here. It might be that the teacher is not using pleasing God and missing the mark as moral categories. But he's saying that God gives blessings, God gives frustrations, just as God pleases. Human beings can't always understand why God does the things He does. And so to us, they seem meaningless. It might also be that the teacher is lamenting that things don't always work the way it seems that they should work. As much as that rule sounds nice, sometimes upright people suffer. Sometimes wicked people flourish. Or it might be, I think this is the most likely of all, that death is still haunting the teacher. From his perspective, everyone, whether they're righteous or wicked, whether they please God or don't, everyone loses everything when they die. The teacher seems ready to believe that God enables his people to truly and rightly enjoy work and its results and life itself. But the teacher worries that death makes even that good gift temporary. Death makes it ultimately meaningless. If death is the end for us, then the teacher is right, and all our work is ultimately meaningless. But Christ Jesus, our Savior, has defeated death for His people. He's opened to us the way of everlasting life. As God teaches us in 1 Corinthians, Jesus' resurrection is the thing that gives meaning to our faith and gives hope to our lives. God promises us that our labor in the Lord is not in vain, because Christ came to save our lives for life with Him forever. Christ calls and enables us to work for Him and for His glory now. So rather than being meaningless, something that just fades away, God's people's work is part of our eternal, unbreakable relationship with Christ. It's a way for us to show Him gratitude for His love, for all that He has given to us. As Christians, we believe that our risen and exalted Lord rules over all things. All the earth belongs to Christ and is under His authority. And so we can do His work in any area of life. Wherever God places us, our work is part of His calling for our lives. He gives us tasks and jobs and abilities to use to honor Him and serve others. So rather than being disconnected from our Christian lives. Our jobs are part of God's role for us as people of His kingdom. One of my college classmates, Tyler, runs a Chick-fil-A store over by the border of Iowa and Illinois. Tyler firmly believes that God has placed him there, that God can and God wants to use him. Tyler encourages his fellow employees. He says to them that they should strive to add value to people's lives around you through their work of providing a hot and tasty meal and friendly customer service. Tyler serves God by using the leadership skills that God has given him to positively influence the people around him. As he spends time with his fellow employees, he learns their personalities. He identifies how he can best motivate them to do good work and how he can help them to grow together as a team. As a Christian, Tyler sees his life, as his work, as more than just business, more than just sales, but as a way that he can connect with others, a way that he can show God gratitude for opportunities. For Tyler, his job is a meaningful part of how he follows Christ. He says, "I'm so thankful that God has helped me to be open to what he has in store for me." God enables us to enjoy the things that he empowers us to do. Work is good when we see it as a way of loving God, showing thanks for his love. And God, unlike ourselves and unlike our jobs, instructs his people to rest from our labors. He gives us the gift of Sabbath as a way of teaching us to trust him and not our own work. God's love motivates us to work to the best of our abilities, to honor him, to seek to bless others through our labor. And so God helps us. He helps us to make ice cream for others to enjoy, to transport the supplies that others need for their work and life. God uses us to care for residents in the nursing home, or to make a student feel special, or to help someone out with their finances. God teaches us to make the most of our God-given abilities by working diligently at harvesting, or fixing a faulty water heater, or getting all of the dishes perfectly clean. Both inside and outside of our career, God inspires us to share the good news of Jesus with others or mentor someone who's struggling or seek resolution in time of conflict. God makes us able to feel satisfied with our efforts as doing what he's given us to do. He enables us to provide for ourselves and those who depend on us through our earnings. At times, our work is still going to feel frustrating and difficult. God doesn't guarantee us that every task will feel worthwhile. But along with the promise of eternal life, he also promises us true knowledge of him and lasting pleasures in his presence and satisfying work and service when his kingdom fully comes. These aren't rewards that we can earn, but further gifts of God's grace. Our crucified and risen Lord calls us to stop foolishly, futilely seeking meaning through our work and receive the meaning, the forgiveness, the life that he alone gives. God gives his people work. It enables us to enjoy our efforts and their results through him. Christ helps us work for him. He assures us that our labor for him is not in vain. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's join together in prayer. Risen Lord Jesus, we confess that it's easy for us to make idols of our work and the things we do. But our work cannot give ultimate meaning to our lives. Please forgive us. Lead us to look to you for meaning and satisfaction. Help us see our work as your gift and part of your calling for our lives. Inspire us through your love to work for your glory and others' benefit. Give us satisfaction in laboring for you, and help us trust that you will give us eternal life with you. It's through your Spirit we pray. Amen. Let's respond to God's word by reminding ourselves together of what we believe. We'll use the words of "Our world belongs to God," stanza 48. Let's join in the reading. You can either read from the screen or from your bulletin. Our work is a calling from God. We work for more than wages and manage for more than profit, so that mutual respect and the just use of goods and skills may shape the workplace. While we earn or profit, we love our neighbors by providing useful products and services. In our global economy, we advocate meaningful work and fair wages for all. Out of the Lord's generosity to us, we give freely and gladly of our money and time. Let's sing praise to God once again. We're going to sing together "My Only Comfort." Please rise in body or in spirit as we sing. People of God, welcome to the feast of the Lord, where Christ Jesus, our Savior, invites us to receive the benefits and blessings of his atoning death, his life-giving resurrection, and his exalted reign. At the Lord's Supper, we look back, remembering the whole story of our salvation. We look around, seeing that we are together members of the body of Christ. We look forward to the great banquet in God's coming kingdom. We look up to our ascended Lord, who promises to feed us with his body and blood by the Holy Spirit. The Lord has prepared his table for all who love and trust in him alone for their salvation. All who are truly sorry for their sins, who sincerely believe in Christ Jesus as their Savior, and who desire to live in obedience to him as Lord, are now invited to come with gladness to the table of the Lord. People of God, lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right for us to give thanks and praise. Blessed are you, strong and faithful God. All your works, the heights and the depths, echo the music of your praise. In the beginning, your word summoned light, darkness withdrew, and creation dawned. You gathered waters on the face of the earth, and life appeared. You made the world full of abundance, and created in your image man and woman, the stewards of all creation. You gave us breath and speech, that all the living might find a voice to sing your praise, and to celebrate the creation you called good. So now, with all your people and all your creatures, we proclaim your glory. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. All holy Father, how wonderful is the work of your hands. When sin had scarred the world, you entered into covenant to renew the whole creation. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, as a father joyfully embraces his own, you embraced a people as your own and filled them with longing for a peace that would last and a justice that would never fail. Through many generations, your people hungered for the bread of freedom. From them you raised up Jesus, your son, the living bread, in whom the ancient hungers are satisfied. He healed the sick, though he himself would suffer. He offered life to sinners, though death would hunt him down. But with a love stronger than death, he opened wide his arms and surrendered his spirit. Gracious God, as we offer you our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, we commemorate Jesus, your Son. Death could not hold him, for you raised him up by the power of your Holy Spirit and exalted him as Lord of creation. We give thanks to God the Father that our Savior Jesus Christ gave us this memorial of his sacrifice until he comes again. At his Last Supper, our Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." For whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Your death, O Christ, we proclaim. Your resurrection, we declare. Your coming, we await. Glory be to you, O Lord. As we join together in prayer, please join me in the Lord's Prayer at the end. Living God, send your Holy Spirit upon us as we share your heavenly meal. Nourish us with your grace so that we are strengthened to do your work in this world. Unite us with you so that we are renewed. And join us with your covenant people throughout time and space so that all divisions will be healed. May we gratefully and joyfully remember that Jesus, our Savior, lived, died, and rose to give us new life and to make us new creations in Him. May we live in the hope we discover through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So as we celebrate communion, like I said at the beginning, we believe the Lord's Supper is for those who are sorry for their sins, who believe in Jesus as their Savior, and who desire to live in obedience to Him as Lord. If that's you, then we invite you to join with us in celebrating the Lord's Supper. Even if you're a member of another church, you may join with us. If you're not a church member, if those statements don't apply to you, then we ask that you simply let the plates pass you by. We're going to celebrate this month by passing the trays of bread through the pews, and once we all have the bread, we'll eat together. Then we'll pass the cups of juice, and once we all have the cups, we'll drink together. We come now, for all is ready. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. People of God, let's take, eat, remember, and believe The body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. People of God, let's take, drink, remember, and believe. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Let's join together. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Let's pray. Most gracious God, we praise you for what you have given and for what you have promised us here. You have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. You have fed us with the bread of life and renewed us for your service. Now we give ourselves to you, and we ask that our daily living may embody the values of your kingdom, and that our love may flow from your love, reaching out into the life of the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, having fed us at his table, now sends us forth to live for him. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And know that as we go with God's blessing. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen.